Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Elisa Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's beunique.org.
Didn't do that commercial.
Yes, I can hear you.
Good. Welcome to our show for a change. It's on Monday night. It's by special demand, I'm calling it. My name is Mary Brotherton. I am your host for Be Unique Unscripted, and my guest tonight is Rena. She is a German-born environmental activist who moved to South Korea to work in the ecology department of a Korean church. We'll talk about all of that in a little bit. But she has been my best friend, it seems like, for a while. We met through Instagram because our co-host, sometimes my co-host, Jennifer, found her on Instagram and asked me to reach out to Rena. And we just became good friends over common things like writing and gardening and the environment. So I'd like to just say welcome to the show, Rena.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mary.
You're very welcome. Before the show, we were talking about the difference. You said that you have only one thing growing in your garden right now, but it's still all, you know, just barely springtime. So everything is making you wait a little bit. So what have you got planted in your garden besides the arugula that's growing? I think I lost Rena. I think I lost her. Rena, I don't know if you can hear me. Yeah, I think Skype sometimes makes it difficult for us to do this. It's not as good as a telephone call, but it's certainly better than nothing. Are you able to hear me now, Rena? Not right now. I will tell you this. Rena is proof that even though this world is big, we can make it smaller when we can work together. And we found many things. And Rena does her articles about environmentalism and being ecologically minded. Did I hear you just jump in, Rena? No. Let me try this little trick here and see if it will work, and I'll get Rena back as soon as I can. Sometimes I have to punch a few buttons and hope for the best. Rena, are you there? No. We're having difficulties, but you know what? I have ways around this. One thing that I can do, perhaps I can read one of Rena's stories. And Rena, if you hear me, jump right in, please, and just interrupt me and start talking, because I really want the world to get to know you and hear you and find out what goes on in that brilliant mind of yours. I love your articles. And I love everything about you. You're just an amazing human being. And the fact that we seem to have clicked so easily on different things is great. Are you there, Rena? No, I cannot hear her. That's a little heartbreaking that I can't hear her. But we will. Eventually she'll join us. I'm not sure what's happening. I cannot hear her. But you know what? We shall make this show continue on no matter what. she has disconnected. She'll call back in a little bit, and when she does, we'll just jump on from there. But I would, let me see what I've got here. There she is. There she is. Hello, Rena.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
There you. I hear you. That's wonderful.
Oh, great.
I don't know. I think Skype is just playing games with us. Who knows?
Yes.
Well, I would like for you to tell our audience. Oh, by the way, I found out tonight we are now heard in 18 different countries.
Wow.
Yeah. And we've only had this show on this channel since November of this past year.
That is
4 months. And I think that we're growing very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, the world is getting so much connected.
Yes, and I love it. I love being connected to people like you and so many other people that are around the world that feel the same way that I do and the rest of us at Be Unique do.
Yeah,
what
that's
was
the great
it about? Would you tell us what was it about Be Unique that made you want to donate your time?
That's exactly what you said, this connecting people all over the world. Like, feeling less alone on working for environment or striving to lead a more meaningful and sustainable life. And it can be a very lonely journey if everybody around you is looking at you like, are you crazy? Why are you doing
this? I think we lost her again. I wish there was a way for me to know exactly when the connection goes. Because I don't know if she can hear me or if she cannot hear me. But she will definitely come back because she is determined. And I love it. There you are. I hear you giggling.
Okay.
Hey, Rena. We've dropped her again. While I'm waiting for her to reconnect, I'm going to read one of her more recent articles called Recharge to Rise and Shine Again. A little difficult to keep checking back and forth. She wrote this at the beginning of the new year because the issue came out at the end of December. Or no, I'm so confused now. And that's okay. I get confused easily some days. Since the age of 10, I dedicated my whole life to environmental protection, cleaning up a local stream with friends, demonstrating against rainforest logging in Canada with Greenpeace, collecting signatures for cleaner energy production, studying agroecology and environmental protection, detecting pesticides in the groundwater of rural Vietnam, educating students about mobile food webs, bringing children into nature to cherish her gifts. I lived my dream. How many other people can say that they've lived their dream? There's Rena. Let me see if I can connect her. Hello, Rena.
Yes. Yes, hi.
Okay. I'm just reading your last article.
Yes.
So you and Jennifer first connected, I believe, on Instagram. And then you and I connected. And I think you and I have really connected at the heart. Because we both love to have phone calls drop left and right. Anyway, it's okay. I'll continue reading. Around my 30th birthday, a small voice arose in my mind. Where are you? Where do you want to be? Where do you belong? Where is home? The longing grew, and I left Korea's capital, Seoul, to settle in a rural town where my NGO was working to protect a beautiful small river. I found home. Hello, yeah. Rena. You are tenacious. I love that. determined to keep it going.
Yes, it's a big chance.
Would you tell us about the little village you live in?
Yeah, it's we're living in a small rural town in Korea. Can you hear me?
How do you I hear you. How do you pronounce the province that you live in?
The city, like my husband and I are living in, is Yeongju. Mm-hmm. And the village located next to the river where my parents-in-law live and where I first met my husband and where I fall in love with the place, it's Musum. This is a traditional Korean village, like with old traditional wooden houses. And the family of my husband has one of these houses, and they use it as a guest house so people can come and enjoy nature and culture and the beauty of this place. And that's how we met each other there, when I stayed in this guest house to visit the river, to see its beauty and to fight for its protection.
So that's very a romantic story. Now, you are originally from Germany, correct?
Yes, that's right.
And that's where your parents live?
Yes, they do.
And I hope that they will be listening. If not today, then maybe later on another time, and be able to hear you, because I know it's important to stay connected. And you've worked right now. You're like everyone else in the world. You're kind of on a hiatus, waiting for this change in the environment. Basically, the whole world is on hold here because of the COVID virus. When you return your life back to normal, will you be going back to school?
Yes, I'm in my last semester of environmental management.
Mm-hmm.
So I will go back to university for another, well, it will be probably 1 month, because 2 months are now online.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And then finally, I will start my research on, like for my PhD thesis, I will research on my river. So we'll see how that will turn out.
That will be a fun research project for you.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I came to Korea like first for the environment, then fell in love with this river and kind of decided to go to university to scientifically do something to protect this unique part of natural environment.
The pictures that you've sent us for Be Unique have made me fall in love with the river. It's very shallow in some areas, but it's also very clean looking and crystal clear.
Yeah, that's because it's a sandy river. So like the river bed is completely from sand. So the sand is washing the water all the time. You have this filter activity of the grains, of the sandy grains. And the river is really shallow. You can walk 100 kilometers through the water.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I mean, not of course now anymore, because they built dams and they kind of like developed it in certain places. In its original state, you could walk it, not even like you could bare feet, because the sand grains, they were so fine. It was like a very gentle massage to your feet. It is an amazing place.
Now I want to come visit.
Yeah. We have a guest house, I told you.
I know. That's, you know what else I want to do? I want to be able to visit that little village that you wrote about, the flower in the sky.
Yes.
Or something. Sounds like such an amazing little, it's a non-technology type.
Well, it's a community. Yeah. I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Like these people came together from all over the country. They are not from here. They are united by a common dream. This common dream is bringing them together in a community. So everything which is solved by technology or by buying services in other places, they solve it within their community. And I think it is like the most beautiful idea of living together. So if I need help, I would ask my neighbor, know how to help me. He would ask his neighbor or maybe his friend. And this is like a really, really precious thing that they are living there. like growing their own food, raising their children close to nature. I think that was the basic idea for them. But like it became so much more living there together. And in this Korean society that is so rushed and so pressured by the daily struggle to survive economically, it is such a beautiful thing to see this cooperation going on and to see these people like reaching out hands to each other and making a living together without competing with each other.
And that is so important. I think that if nothing else comes from the COVID virus, the sense of community that I'm seeing may be what it's all about. You know, it's almost like we've all been so busy competing and trying to be the first one and trying to be the best one that we've forgotten what it's like to be part of one. You know, we need to be part of a community, part of the human race, not just a bunch of active things. Oh, I think I lost you again. Well, it will take a minute or two for her to probably disconnect and reconnect. I'm going to go back to reading her article. Are you there?
Yes.
There you are. Good. All I had to do was threaten you. I had to threaten to start reading your article again, and then you came back.
I think it's I have to keep my phone, like the screen on, then it seems to work. So I will just move the screen all the time. That
Okay. You know, YouTube is like that. If the screen goes black, then you lose connectivity. So that's probably exactly what it is. Hey,
so if that
now we know.
At all, then it's great.
Sometimes that's all it takes is just a little lesson that we learn. And it's important that we learn not only about how to use Skype, but also how to work together as a single community, like that little flower in the sky is doing.
Yeah.
I think it's so very important.
This virus is, I mean, like we in Korea, we're time-wise quite bad because we had the first outbreak in February already. So in the beginning, people were just like scared of each other, but we are now at a state where we just start missing each other. Like missing social interaction, missing going out to see people. We are connected online a lot, like via social media, which is huge in Korea, as people are like in the big cities, mostly too far away from each other. Living even in the same city, you would need like 2 hours to go from one place to another. So social media is a very big thing, which is now. But people realize that there are limits to just looking at your phone to connect to people. And it's more like we're really starting to miss this social personal interaction. And I hope that will help our communities when the outbreak is over.
I think it will. I really do. Somebody posted something on Facebook today. It was a little long, but I'll paraphrase it. She was basically saying, you know, we're all maintaining our social distance. We're staying 6 feet apart. We're wearing the masks. But that doesn't mean that we're not still human. We need that interaction. So if you see me walking in the park, stay your distance, but smile, wave, make eye contact. She said, don't look down at the ground and pretend that there's no one else in the world with you. And I thought that was very interesting, the way she had phrased it.
My mother told me exactly the same. As in Germany, they are now in full lockdown, so people are not allowed to leave the house with more than one person or a person in your own household. So my parents go for a walk a lot because just the two of them, and they have some fresh air and some activity to move around and to keep themselves busy. But she said, whenever you meet somebody in the park, they do eye contact, smile at each other, they keep the distance and pass by. And that's something so beautiful. Like
it is.
Recognizing
it really
each other
is.
And connecting, but then like keeping the distance for the sake of each other.
Right. And even though this affects each one of us on an individual level, everybody is connected.
Yeah.
And the entire world And I
and
think
everybody
that,
counts.
Yes.
Like it is my personal to overcome this pandemic crisis. And that is something which we say, like, for environmental issues the whole time, but people don't want to realize. But it's so true, and it's so true even now. Like, if I do my share, we can overcome this.
Exactly. And, you know, you mentioned the environment. Everybody is reporting that because everything is shut down for now, the factories are not polluting the air. You know, over in China, which is one of the worst pollution areas in the world, they've got blue skies again. They can hear the birds, and they haven't heard the birds in years because of the noise of the city. And now a lot of that noise is gone. So you can hear nature again. I feel very fortunate.
Fine dust free spring, like in Korea, we never had any fine dust free spring since I came here 8 years ago. So it is so beautiful that we can breathe the air and out and have a look at the sky and enjoy the sunlight without being concerned about wearing a mask against like these fine dust particles. So it's really amazing what's going on in such a short period of time. I mean, it's 2 months.
You know, I like my technology, and if it wasn't for technology, I wouldn't be able to be having this conversation with you right now. And, you know, people in 18 different countries wouldn't be able to listen in. However, there's a breaking point for everything. And it may just be that Mother Earth said enough is enough. I cannot support you. I cannot support you this way. So, you know, maybe we just needed to take a step back and look at the world and see what we're doing to it. And this may help. I don't know what the answer will be.
I think the important point you mentioned, like, is like this way. It's not like that because we are in favor for the environment, we're against innovation. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, it's not that we're against technology. Of course not. It's about, like, pollution, which doesn't have to be the same. And this is what we're saying. I mean, I don't believe that all environmental problems can be solved technologically, but I also don't think all technology is bad. It's just, like, it needs a certain balance. Like, everything in nature is balanced so wisely, and that's exactly what we are failing at every day, like, the balance.
You know, that's interesting because it's a lesson that I've had to learn the hard way, because I always joke that I'm God's really stubborn child, and he has to kind of hit me upside the head with a 2x4 to get my attention, because I've talked about having balance in my life, but I've really done very little about it. About a month ago, I was thinking, okay, today's a great day to start walking again. I haven't been walking for a while. I'm going to start walking. Well, guess what? My back went out, and I wasn't able to walk for almost 3 weeks. Now I'm able. It's been a really good time for me in a weird way. My life hasn't changed a lot because of the virus. It's changed a lot because of my own stubbornness. Because I work from home anyway, and the majority of what I do is either over the telephone or through Zoom conference calls or things of this nature. And so I haven't really had to change my way of life. I do order more things online because it's mainly because it's harder to go shopping when your back hurts. So I've been taking care of myself. I've been resting more. I've been meditating more. And I remember telling someone, I'm doing everything I can, and I'm still not getting any better. And I'm praying, I'm meditating, I'm listening to this kind of music, I'm listening to that kind of stuff, I'm getting all these guided meditations. She said, Mary, have you ever thought that maybe you don't need to be doing so much? Maybe you just need to be for a while.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how am I supposed to do that? How do I shut off my brain? The interesting thing is, Yesterday I had one of those days and I just did nothing. And it was wonderful. And I didn't try to go on Facebook. I mean, I did a few things online. I did a little social media stuff, but it wasn't like, oh, I have to do this. It was more like, I get to do this. Yeah. And that switch right there from I must to I have the privilege or this is a good opportunity totally changes everything. And for a long time, when this first happened, well, we have a caller. Let's see who's on the line. Hello, who's on the phone?
Hi, caller. This is caller Jean, Mary.
Hi, Jean. How are you?
Oh, good, good. I was having difficulty trying to tune in so badly, and I just having technical difficulties on my end, so I thought I'd call because at least I could hear what's going on.
Well, Rena, it's not just you and me.
Yes, I see.
Rena was having all kinds of issues in the beginning.
Oh, I heard that part, and so sorry.
Well, I think we resolved it. We figured out it was her screensaver, which was disconnecting, because she's connected through Skype, and I'm connected through Skype. And because of that, it was making it a little difficult. But it's okay.
Well,
so we're glad you're
here. I was anxious to hear what you had to say. Oh,
well, good.
Me?
I hear somebody else with you.
No, just me. No.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
No, Bob is in the other room. Thank goodness.
Bob doesn't speak my language.
No.
He's not like Rena. He's not multilingual. I told my cat, you need to learn to speak English because I cannot speak catish. But he's a very vocal cat. It didn't help a bit. But I've actually learned to speak most of his meows. I know which ones mean I'm hungry, which ones mean, Mary, you need to quit working and come sit down and hold me, which one means, excuse me, lady, the litter box is dirty again. You need to go over here. But we learn every time. Exactly. I wouldn't want a litter box that was all dirty either.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, we've been talking about the environment. Oh, Rena, Jean is going to become one of my co-hosts, which might as well start tonight, Jean. But he also is a gardener. He's a very good gardener. He's got some of those beautiful roses I've ever seen.
Wow.
And
Well, I love gardening.
So it shows.
Yeah, we just planted roses, but I mean,
did
like
you?
Just like 2 days ago.
Oh.
Maybe
that's
I come
awesome.
Back to you like in a couple of months.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great.
That's been something that has hurt my feelings, my heart more than anything else with my back out of commission is not being able to get to my garden. But I have learned that I do not have to garden from sun up to sundown. To get my fix.
Uh-huh.
I can go, I went out today where my compost, I have a compost bin, but it's situated down a hill kind of thing. And it's very difficult to walk up or down hills with my back. So what I did yesterday is I created a separate composter. It's a small tub basically. And I'm putting all of my compost material in there with dirt so that the critters don't get into it so much. And it's just open to the air. It's not closed in like the other composter. But it gives me a chance to go outside and I can go look at my flowers. Like I did yesterday with you, Rena. I just walked out and took a picture and shared the pictures of my potatoes and my beets and things.
Yeah. They're growing so well.
They are. Well, some of those I got from, I got them as seedlings from one of our other sponsors. Her name is Kathy Price. and she owns an, or she has a garden in her yard. She's got a very small yard. She's made very good use of it, and she calls it the Little Green Oasis. And from that, everything she grows, of course, like ours, is organic, but she also uses her own plants and things to make like body butter or hand creams and lip balm.
Ooh.
In fact,
well, that's awesome.
The lip balm, the, I think I gave you one, Jean, at some point, a
yeah.
lip balm. And
yeah,
I know that
I
just
sent
one to
awesome.
Rena not long ago. And
yeah.
that's Kathy made that in her her home laboratory. The
oh.
beautiful thing that I found out, Jean, you'll both like this. You can use that lip balm. If you know how gardening hands get kind of crusty? I don't know any other word
mm-hmm.
for it. Dried?
Sure.
That,
sure.
That lip balm is great to put on your hands. It's all made with, you know, organic stuff. And I think coconut oil is her main go-to carrier. But it's all really good for your hands and everything. So I like it.
Oh,
Mary?
Use
that lip. Yes.
That just gave me the greatest idea. I was trying
what?
To. There are coconuts growing in my yard, and I'm not really much of a coconut eater, and I was trying to figure out what to do with them. And I can use them as skin application. Because I definitely
maybe.
Need them after weeding the garden all the time. I'll use that
yeah.
when I get all oily.
Crack one open and rub it on your hands. And Jean,
that's
if you
awesome.
Get more coconuts. If you get more coconuts than you need, I will take them off your hands.
That sounds good. I'll tell you, I don't know that I won't eat them, because I never ate mangoes either until I had these mangoes in the yard. Now I love them.
I love coconut. And
there's plenty.
I love mangoes.
Some. You okay? Yeah, and I'll tell you what. I could try to get you some.
Well, it might be difficult, but I'm glad you're enjoying them.
Yeah,
I will tell
yeah.
you, the postage to South Korea is not cheap.
Oh,
but,
no, not at all.
I think it costs more to send to Korea than it does to send to India, but I can't remember. Did you guys know? Oh, you probably can't send produce. I would not imagine.
Well, I was thinking you probably can't grow mangoes where you're at in South Korea. I mean, I was looking on the map a little bit ago, and it looks like it's more temperate.
Yeah. Yes. No coconuts. No mangoes here.
Ah.
Yeah,
we have really cold winters.
It's
like
snowing
in normal
there.
Years, it gets really cold, especially in January and February. This year was a little bit less cold, but generally,
mm-hmm.
yes, it's really freezing.
Well, really, I'll tell you, I'm from South Dakota,
something.
And when I came to Florida, it was like amazing. So, Mary was telling me she's from Pennsylvania, I believe, and boy, that's some cold stuff too.
No,
so,
not me.
No. No, who was it? Were you,
no,
were...
I don't know anybody from Pennsylvania, but
no,
I'll tell you.
Then I'm, well, okay.
Okay. You've been sniffing that coconut, I know.
Well, oh, yeah, definitely. Well, to my rosemary. I've not been sniffing my rosemary.
Oh, well, there you go. You should start sniffing it again.
Get some, yeah.
I'm from South Carolina.
South Carolina, that, yes.
South Carolina is just north of Georgia. And
yes,
I've been accused of being from many places, including Chicago, because I don't sound like I'm from South Carolina. Everybody in my family talks like this. And it's really funny to try to get them to understand what you're saying. Although I have a nephew who's from Georgia. He was born and raised in Savannah, Georgia. And he talks like this, very, very slowly. And you just want to say, Tommy, please give me the words. I don't have time to listen to him. because as we were talking before you joined the show, Jean, hurting my back has taught me to value downtime. It's taught me to relax and be patient with myself. And I've learned at this point, I don't think Be Unique is quite ready for me to retire from it, but I do know that Be Unique will be fine without me hands-on all the time. Mm-hmm. And that was a very important lesson for me to know that I don't, the world does not revolve around me. And that was very humbling.
Well, you know, though, it's in real life, though, the way I was just thinking about it, because you're a good leader doing what you do. And so a good leader can do it and then sit back and watch it all be done, basically.
That's the plan.
That's absolutely
the plan. And that's why when you said that you wanted to help with the podcast, I'm like, let me show you how.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're all in it together. And if we all know how, you know, I think more people would do a lot of things if they knew how.
Absolutely. And, you know, at the beginning of the show, before we figured out what was wrong with Rena's telephone, you know, we realized we were talking about how she was attracted to work with Be Unique because we are in it together. We're all working for the same goal. And mm-hmm. Jennifer has been the most amazing story scout. She finds people on Instagram. I find people on Facebook. Other people find people walking down the street. It's just amazing how our worlds have come together. Mm-hmm. For instance, look at the Green Gables story and how we got together.
Oh, my God.
You know, if we had not gone to Sita's radio show when she invited us and met Marion and Sue, we wouldn't have even known that Green Gables needed help. And we wouldn't have created that amazing film. It's just phenomenal.
It's awesome. It's actually kind of mind-boggling. I was just returning from a quick boggle. Excuse me.
So, Jean, is there anything that you want to ask Rena about her life in Germany or South Korea or her life as an environmentalist?
Well, I think the thing that I've found interesting, I went to look a little bit about the location, the province that you had mentioned, which I can't pronounce, but I could copy and paste. And you were working with folks that were dealing with an incoming dam, which sounds like would be certainly be a change of everything for them. And I just looked on there, and I noticed there are like four dams within that vicinity. Is that true? I mean, it looks like that's an important part of their life, is having to have or making the dams, I should say.
Yes. I mean, it's a two-sided story, of course. Like these dams that you saw on the map, they are really here. They are all built.
Yes.
The thing is, I mean, there was it was called Major River Restoration Project in 2008,
mm-hmm.
and they built 16 dams all across the country, and 8 of these 16 dams were along the river where my little stream discharges into. And then there were lots of like improving other dams and improving local infrastructure and local, like it was all for local development along these four major streams across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And people really liked it because it sounded so great. Restoration of the rivers, that sounds really environmentally friendly, and economic development in rural areas, that's something urgently needed, and it was very welcomed. But in the end, it turned out that some really benefited a lot, and a lot really benefited not so much. And the big loser in the whole game was the environment, for sure.
Wow.
But I guess I mentioned earlier, my little stream, it is like roughly 100 kilometers of a sandy riverbed where you can walk through it because it's so shallow. Then imagine you build a dam and like block these tiny little bit of water to become a huge reservoir. I mean, this reservoir, we are 2020 right now, right? It's still not filled with water. Because the stream was so tiny and little, and this dam is so huge, it just doesn't really fit together.
And there's
and
still
a lot of environmentally.
They're planning on it still rising.
Yes, I mean they're still. I mean the dam was closed once, and they tried to fill the reservoir, which didn't work. So then for a long time they did like reconstruction projects and improvement and enhancement, and I don't know what exactly. And now they started filling the reservoir, and they are like still in the wake of it. But the environment is changing so much, like the groundwater level, upstream and downstream, like both. So upstream, the farmers suddenly have higher groundwater levels, and their paddy fields are flooded. And downstream, the groundwater levels are dropping, so we don't have drinking water in some of the villages anymore.
Huh.
Mm.
So
where
there are
do
a lot
they
of things they never thought about. I mean, like the village of my parents-in-law, they still don't have piped water connections. They're using groundwater. But mainly because the population in the village doesn't want piped water, because then they would have to pay their $3 a month or something. So, I mean, it's the thing about development. Like, yes, everybody likes to have development, but on the other hand, they don't really like to pay for it, and they don't really consider.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you know, that brings me back to Green Gables, because I don't know if you've been following this story or not, Rena. Green Gables is a house it's about half an hour, 45 minutes away from where I live. It's 123 years old, and it's been named as a historical landmark. But if the people that run the nonprofit that are taking care of the house, they're like caregivers or caretakers for the house, if they don't raise the money that they need soon, this house is going to be destroyed, and somebody's going to just pay $1 million for this property so they can have the dirt to put who knows what kind of development on, you know, gas station or a high-rise apartment or... Yeah, and so we've been working with them since before December, but really hard since December. Jennifer and the production crew created a film called Forgotten Enchantress. And
oh my goodness.
Because of that, they've been able to raise quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be long. They're going to be applying for a government grant. And if they get the grant, then they'll be able to buy the property. And then the real work starts.
Uh-huh.
But if we can stop that bit of development, not only is the house important. It is. The house is very important. But what is the acreage there, Gene?
Oh, I want to say like an acre and a third all total.
Okay, so it's not a big area, but it's bigger than, you know, most people's yards and houses. But they have some of the most amazing, it's right on the river, literally. And they have these amazing old shade trees, and they've got some tropical trees, but most of what they've got are like oak trees, and there's like a camphor tree and a couple of other things that I can't identify. But these trees were planted more than 100 years ago, so they're really just now coming into their glory. And you know somebody's going to come in with a bulldozer and take out every tree that's in there. And it just breaks my heart to think that that could happen. They have dolphins that swim in the river. They have ospreys and eagles and hawks, all kinds of bluebirds and blue jays, other kinds like pelicans and things flying around. And then they've got raccoons and possums that come and chipmunks and squirrels. They've got a little like a wildlife preserve without even trying to. It's just what's naturally there. And all that would be ruined with development. We were talking before you joined, Gene, about how technology is good. If we didn't have technology, you and Rena and I could not be sitting here. We're 9 hours apart. For Jean and me, yeah. It's 8:45 at night on Monday night. For Rena, it's 9:45 on Tuesday morning. So.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've been able, with technology, I've been able to talk to people in Australia and Cameroon. I talked to a man in Kenya over this. We had to use WhatsApp, but it worked. And it blows my mind that Rena can write from her home in South Korea, and I'm here in Central Florida. I get her story within minutes of her sending it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And because of technology, she's able to send me photographs. I don't have to send a reporter out to get the story. And we do this with people all over the world. We have people represent, our volunteer base represented by is representing 22 different countries. Some of them
That's
live
amazing.
In those countries. And some of them are, you know, they came here. Like Trinity recently did a series about becoming a naturalized citizen in the United States. She's originally from Trinidad and Tobago. And she's a hoop to listen to, let me tell you. She's fun. But we need this technology, but yet I think the three of us right now kind of crave a quieter lifestyle that's simpler. And maybe because we've known those simple lifestyles. I mean, I know that Jean and I are old enough that we've done, you know, I can remember especially when my grandfather's I was not even around when my grandfather got electricity, but I was around when my grandmother got indoor. I was around when my grandmother got indoor plumbing, and
cool.
That came a long time after my grandfather died. But I remember using her outhouse as a child, and I remember, you know, using telephones. You had to dial, not press a button. You had to turn a rotary and hope there was
nobody
on the phone.
We had this too when I was a child.
So I remember these things, and I really don't want to go back to that. I don't want to lose the technology, but we were discussing
right.
how technology and the environment can go hand in hand. And I think maybe after the industrialists see what's been going on with the pollution and how it's cleared up, maybe they'll come up with some kind of filtering system that
Let's
will stop
so.
This pollution. Oh, that's my
it's
hope.
It's so fundamental, and it's just, yeah, it's like you talk about technology, the comparison would be an IT person makes one typo in a several billion character sequence, and everybody on the other side of the building is in the dark for 24 hours, you know?
And that's not unheard of.
No, and that's what they don't understand. It's exactly the same with the Earth, you know? I mean, we mess
yes.
with this here, and it's just they don't see that. They see the money. I mean, Green Gables is a perfect example. The little tiny bit of money that we're able to get it for, which is a lot to us, can turn an investor into just hundreds and hundreds of millions, and it's
yeah.
huge. I mean, appeal to somebody that really just doesn't understand that, you know, that we're on the brink of like needing to really do something, and it's easy to do.
Do you guys know? Do you know what the starfish principle is?
Mm-mm. No.
So it's just a little fable, I guess. It's a little story about a boy walking along the beach with his father. And the beach is covered with starfish that have washed up. And the little boy picks up a starfish and he throws it back into the ocean. And he walks and he picks up another starfish. He throws it back into the ocean. And he does this for several, meters or whatever. He walks for a few minutes. He's picking up starfish, throwing each one back in. And his father says, son, look at this. And he shows him that the beach is just covered with starfish. He says, you can't make a difference. You can't possibly make a difference. And the little boy picks up another starfish. He throws it in the ocean. He said, I made a difference to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Good story.
And,
yeah.
And there's another story called The Daffodil Principle. And it's basically about how one woman, and this is actually a true story out in California. One woman, she says, one woman with too much time on her hand and nothing in her head, but she kept planting daffodils, one bulb at the time. And she created like a 5-acre field of beautiful flowers.
Wow.
That people
That's
would
awesome.
Drive and come to see these daffodils because it was up on a little hill. So it really made a very colorful display. And, you know, daffodils don't last long. You know, they live for a week or two and then they fade away. But during the time that those flowers are there, people drive miles and miles to come and look at the daffodils.
Yeah.
And so we can make a difference. And I believe we're doing that one step at a time. And if this virus helps us stop and look at our neighbors differently and think, oh, well, this person needs help, I'll go help. Or maybe I shouldn't just drop this piece of trash on the ground. It makes a difference. And that's
yeah, also realizing, like what you said, this slowing down my own life. I mean, I think people miss that because they never had the chance to experience it before. And when they experience it now, they know what they can miss afterwards.
Exactly. And now at first it feels like it's forced on you, but after a while you actually start enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I probably
and what you said about
it.
like making a difference is for example planting trees. I mean there are so many stories around the world of people who started planting trees, and it's exactly this, like how many trees are you probably able to plant over a whole lifetime even. But mm-hmm. I mean, like since I came here and got married in Korea, I think I planted roughly 50 trees, just like in
oh, wow.
years. Which doesn't really sound like that much, but you know, like a tree here and a tree there. And in the beginning, everybody was looking like, why exactly are you planting trees? I mean, cages for them to grow. So yeah, but
yeah.
I plan to be here that time, so why wouldn't I start planting trees in the beginning of my time here? And now
exactly.
other people started joining in. Like my husband is now weeding around my trees. Oh, look, there are little sprouts coming out of the trees. In the long run, like trees are really amazing beings because they can actually change the climate around them. So
yes.
having grown-up trees, which of course requires some decades to develop, but having grown-up trees, they will really impact like rainfall and the humidity and the temperature in the area around them. So planting trees, I think, is the best investment you can ever do.
Absolutely. When my husband and I are doing home improvement project here, and we had to have the county come, and because of where we live on an island. We had to have the EPA come in, the Environmental Protection Agency came, and they were looking, and they saw where we had cut a tree down. Well, it wasn't cut completely, but it had been damaged by hurricanes, so we had to cut past the hurricane damage. And one woman said, you didn't have a permit for this tree. You're going to have to plant two to take its place. And we'd already moved and transplanted several trees. We didn't just dig them up and throw them away. We moved them from one part of the yard to another. And I said, well,
yeah.
I don't mind planting another tree. However, I want to show you what my plan, my vision is. And I showed her, probably half an acre area, about 12 feet wide. I said, that is where I'm putting my garden. And she said, what kind of garden? I said, well, firstly, it's going to be a pollinator garden. I said, but also a vegetable garden. And she said, okay, you don't have to plant trees then because trees would shade this and prevent your flowers and your vegetables from growing. So, you know, you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, my biggest thing about I'll tell you about trees and my impact is that I grew up in South Dakota, where my uncle and aunt planted about, I don't know, 40, 50 trees way back in the 40s or 50s or whenever they got married and moved there in order to have some shelter from the wind, because there isn't any on the prairie. And there's one tree up on the north part of town, and a cottonwood tree that's probably 200 years old that somehow taps some water somewhere twice a year or something, you know. And come to Florida, and it's just been a growing bonanza. I love it, you know. Now, the problem I had coming to further deep into Florida is it's really, really hot. It's like a broiler burner oven on my skin when I go out in the blazing sun. So I've been in this garden a year, and I've been able to get all the shade spots, and the trees are the sanctuary, the oasis, if you will. I can, and this one palm tree goes up in the air. It's really tall and stuff and big, but it casts about a 25-foot shadow, and it is always there. It's just a matter of where it is. And you can take, if you want to sit in the shade all day in the hot sun, you just take your chair and go. You know, it's pretty cool. Yeah. So
you just follow the shade.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's
me. Is that your coconut tree?
No. Huh? This one's actually, it's called a royal palm. And I've never seen any of this. This was all here when I moved to this garden. And it's about six tall. They'll get to be like 60 or 80, I guess. And they're just beautiful, and the big fronds are 14-15 foot long, and thank goodness they fall off when they need to. The other kind of palms, you have to climb up the tree and get it, and I can't do that, so it's just amazing. Hey, you know, if you want to see it, I posted something on Facebook, and I'm sure you could get a look at it through Mary at some point if you want to. I really enjoy it.
Yes, I'd love to.
Okay. All right.
Well, Jean, you can find Rena at eco.nari. eco.nari.
Okay. Now I need to write that down, because I very well might. eco.n as in Nancy.
Nancy Adam.
Okay.
I'm trying not to talk over people. N-A-R-I.
Yes, it actually means nature remains intact. That's the abbreviation. Like, it is the N-A from nature, the R from remains, and the I from intact.
I see. Okay. Very nice. Okay.
It is a Chinese whatever saying. So that's four Chinese characters. And I retranslated it into English and then abbreviated into Nari, because that sounds like a name.
Oh, okay.
I love it.
Okay.
And you won't believe this, but our show is almost over.
I know.
So,
well,
I want to tell everybody, if you want to follow Rena, she's at eco.nari on Instagram and Facebook. And you might as well join Jean Albertson on Facebook. Are you anywhere else, Jean?
No, I hardly know where I am most of the time, but I know I'm there sometimes. So, yeah.
You're in the garden. We need to create you a page. It says Jean is in the garden. And, of course, if you want to follow me, I am Be Unique Editor everywhere.
Everywhere.
Rena,
Mary's
so
everywhere.
I am. We should do a story about me one day. I'll let Jean interview me and find out.
Absolutely.
I sometimes when I hear my own story back to myself, I'm amazed that I've lived as long as I have. I've had a fun life, and I think I need to live another 65 years just to get through it, which means I'm at middle age right now. So I'll live another 65 years and finish everything I started.
Yes, why not?
I'll be there.
I've got 6 months back. I'm gonna just gotta fix this back of mine, but I will.
Good.
I have really enjoyed this.
Give it time to fix itself.
Yeah.
Yes. I have to play one little ad, and then we'll say goodbye. Hang on for a moment, please.
Okay.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.
That is the show for tonight. Rena, have you got anything else you'd like to say before you go?
I'd like to say thank you for inviting me, for letting me tell my story, for telling me a lot of things, and also Jean for telling me about his roses and coconuts.
Yes.
Sure.
I'm excited to get some of Jean's coconuts because I love it. And you'll be surprised how good it is, Jean, when you start eating coconuts. Because it's not
like your mangoes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Fresh coconut is nothing like what you find in the stores. It's not been sweetened.
Yes.
Jean, is there anything you'd like to finish the show with?
Me? No. No. I was glad I was able to finally get in. I had such technical difficulties, and every time I tried to go back, it started me over, and I thought, well, heck, I just call over there. I can hear the whole show firsthand.
That's exactly right. And you know what? From now on, that's how we're going to do it. You're going to be my co-host on any show you want to join in on. And if somebody else is already co-hosting, then we'll just have two co-hosts. It's all about connecting and having a good time and learning stuff. And I think Rena and I have learned a lot about Skype tonight.
Yes.
Because we found out that if you have a screensaver on, it will shut off your Skype and you have to call back in. So,
yeah.
So we learn and we grow. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed this. Yesterday I was texting with Rena through Facebook and that was fun. But today, hearing her voice and talking to her in person was so much better. It really was.
Yes, I really enjoyed it. Hearing your voice for the first time.
this is the first time you guys have heard each other?
I've heard
because
we're
texting most of the time.
Oh, okay.
We're usually texting, but I've heard her voice because she reads in the audio version of Be Unique. I've been able to hear her voice. And you guys got to hear my South Carolina accent. I used to talk like that, and then I decided I didn't like it anymore, so I quit.
Wow.
I can't speak any other language. I know just enough Spanish to get myself in trouble, and. Before I met my current husband, I actually did get in trouble with Spanish one time, but it was fun. I don't know two other languages. Do you know more than two, Rena? I know you know German, English, and Korean.
Yeah, that's the three I speak.
Hats off to you. That's a job, learning another language. I've always said
talking to people. So
exactly.
I had no time.
I should learn to speak Spanish so I can talk to people in Spanish speaking countries. Because I've always wanted to.
Yes.
Never have practiced it enough.
Well,
when I was taking
maybe
it
you
in
should
school, I was really
Like, use your time to make some Spanish friends and connect with them.
I will have to do that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay. With that, I'll
all
say
right.
Thank you, Zane, and goodbye.
See you guys. Bye.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Good morning.
Good night.
Bye.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.